This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To New Zealand, to Ruben Steff, teaching at Waikato University in Hamilton, North Island, to comment on the forming of a new government and New Zealand in the world. Ruben, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I begin immediately with questions about government. When last we were able to speak, the government had been successful. The Conservatives were moving, and you have a new prime minister, but all the cabinet positions remain to be named. And my understanding is that that was going to be making policy choices. People are policy. What can you tell me about the new cabinet? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. So I think if we go to the national security side of things, which is our area of interest, we have Winston Peters, long-time politician, sort of populist rabble-rouser, but the master politician down here. He got into government as part of the coalition. His New Zealand First Party is the smallest of the three parties in this coalition. He is the Deputy Prime Minister now and Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade. He has held this position in the past, and when he has done so, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs position, he'd taken quite a pro-US line. And we've already seen in the past weeks him come out the blocks, pushing that once again in his speeches to the diplomatic corps here and to the US Business Summit in Auckland, where he's basically said what the world should expect from New Zealand is more energy, urgency, a sharper focus, that it has its eyes open and will pursue the New Zealand national interest, that our interests very much align with the rules-based international order, and that we intend to reinvigorate our defence and security ties with the US and Five Eyes and so on, to bolster our sovereign capability. So we're talking here about the New Zealand Defence Forces. And what has been noticeable in these speeches he's given is no substantive reference to China. That is very unusual. Normally, given China takes over 30% of our exports, there will always be some substantive short paragraph at least talking about China, there being challenges in the relationships, but many areas where we can agree that they are a partner and that going forward, New Zealand will look to maintain a good relationship with China. No mention in Peter's speeches, which was quite interesting. He also said that the time for drift in New Zealand foreign policy is over. There's not a moment to lose. We need to raise our energy, work with the US on strategic and security challenges, unlock the potential in the economic relationship, and collaborate in industries like critical technologies and space. Now, turning to Minister of Defence, Judith Collins, who was a bit of a surprise, she is the Minister of Defence. She comes from the National Party, the largest centre-right party in this coalition. She has been in cabinet before. She's a long-time MP. Her nickname is Crusher, John. So that maybe gives you a bit of a signal about how people view her personality and her kind of image and status down here. She's been called the Minister for Everything. She's the Minister now of Defence, Minister for the Government Communications Security Bureau, Minister for the SIS, that's our CIA, Minister for Digitising Government, Minister for Science, Innovation, Technology, and our first ever Minister for Space. She has said, in her judgment, the last Labour government was anti-American, and she was disappointed that New Zealand was not included in Pillar 2 of AUKUS, and that's a real opportunity they're looking to seize upon. So that's the statement of intent too, where New Zealand governments have been a bit sceptical about what to do with AUKUS, and she is explicitly saying, we see this as an opportunity for joining.
Is this understood as influenced by the Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon? I know that he's worked in business, he's worked internationally. Is he setting the atmosphere for pro-NATO, pro-America? Is that a new dialogue?
It's very hard to know, John. He doesn't, from what we can discern, he doesn't seem to be putting his foot into these conversations at all. I get the sense, John, that he has, he's appointed these two ministers and kind of let them run with it, because he had another option for Minister of Defence, Jerry Brownlee, who in the past had been a bit more sceptical about things like AUKUS, a bit more sceptical about the relationship with the United States. The fact that Jerry Brownlee is now Speaker of the House instead, or Speaker of Parliament, instead of being put into Minister of Defence, suggests to me that Luxon is comfortable with this direction, even as he is looking to maybe put a bit of separation between him and these ministers. But as you say, John, I mean, individuals in these situations are policy. So we have to take it as some sign of endorsement. It could be, John, that he is a relative newbie to government, our Prime Minister. He's only been in the National Party for a few years, so he may very well feel that he doesn't quite have his head around these portfolios as much as he may wish, and so he is delegating it to very experienced members of Parliament to be these ministers.
What I know of parliamentary government is that the civil service, the permanent civil service, has a great deal of weight when it comes to policy. Is that civil service long practiced as, you'd have to say, reluctant to get involved in national security affairs, to project power, to participate in operations that are not of New Zealand's interest? Has that civil service changed, or is that still the same stamp as always? Not pacifist so much as rather observe than participate.
So I would say there is a bit of a split in the civil service. If we are going to the national security side of the civil service, where coming out of the 1980s, given our anti-nuclear policy and the end of the alliance with the US during that time, that was a real seminal moment for many people in New Zealand. So the baby boomer generation is still very much cling to kind of the 1980s as this part of New Zealand's independence in the world, finding itself as a separate actor to the other Anglo nations. So that does still continue as a kind of philosophical streak in parts of the civil service. But at least in my conversations, just given what's happening, well, in the broader Indo-Pacific, Ukraine, the Middle East, also in our own sub-region of Oceania, where we see Chinese influence coming in, I think a lot of people waking up. I think, you know, there comes a point where you can have whatever worldview you want, but when the evidence just keeps stacking up, when you keep seeing countries acting in an assertive and aggressive way, it can get through people's kind of ideological prism, if you will. So a lot of people I'm talking to in the last few years have shifted. If they held that view, the previous view, they've either shifted away, or the young people in particular who are not wedded to the 1980s, they, I think, are kind of free of that view in the first place. So they've already adjusted their viewpoints, and a lot of them are quite pleased to see New Zealand be tilting more towards the US line. Now, this is quite separate from the media, John, where the media, the commentariat, so to speak, do tend to cling to that 1980s worldview a lot more than people in our civil service, from what I see.
I was speaking to Berlin, the Carnegie Endowment, about trade. There's disappointment in Europe about the Mercosur trade agreement on hold. There's also disappointment about disputes with Australia. But when New Zealand's name came up, there were smiles all around. It's a well-deserved reputation you have. Europe likes you. What do you do for Europe that is quite separate from Australia?
It's a good question. I mean, maybe just the fact of not being Australians helps. Look, we are what Canada is to the United States, New Zealand is to Australia to some degree. We are the slightly quieter, more smiley version of our neighbours to our west, to the Australians. Well, we've been a long-standing proponent of free trade agreements. Going back to the 1980s, we embraced neoliberalism and international free trade with more gusto than any other country on the planet, John. There are books written about the New Zealand experiment and how we set a template for how to just thoroughly deregulate things and privatize things and so on. So we've always pushed that line. And we have decades now of experience in, well, writing free trade agreements and negotiations and so on. So I suspect when the Europeans sit down with us, they sit down with a country that takes these things seriously and has a lot of experience in doing so. And we really are looking for like win-win outcomes. We are not throwing around our elbows. We are not being bolshy and pushy. Kiwi diplomats will genuinely be negotiating in very good faith to try to get these negotiations through. And we do give where we have to give. So, for example, this new New Zealand EU free trade agreement that's going through, it doesn't as yet contain significant provisions around agriculture, which would be really good for us, but of course would anger European farmers. So I wouldn't be surprised if when it comes to sort of strategic industries or important industries for the Australians in their negotiations, they're quite pushy about it, whereas we will push, and then at some point we will simply go, well, if we can't get this through, we're willing to compromise.
Right. We have less than a minute, Ruben. Thank you very much. Inflation has been a worry for Europe, for the United States. It looks like our inflation story is starting to be solved. Is that true for New Zealand? We have about 30 seconds.
It is slowing down. This government also has put a major emphasis on sort of pro-business policies. They've given the Reserve Bank a single mandate of price stability. So they claim through their policies to be wanting to push forward an agenda that's going to be business-friendly and presumably will work to ease the cost of living. And a big part of that is getting inflation down.
Ruben Steph, Waikato University in Hamilton, New Zealand, that's North Island. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.